Hello, beautiful people, and welcome back to another episode of Two Girls, One Doc.
One Doc.
It's your girl, BD.
It's four into the foodie.
And we are back.
We back.
With another episode about a documentary that I actually really enjoyed.
Yeah.
I can't see your face properly. Why are you like half? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it, but I guess it was less about the debauchery of it all, and it was just more about the other side.
Oh, you were disappointed that it was wholesome and it wasn't about the sex, sex, sex.
Yeah, I guess.
Sounds about right.
Well, no, because also the way people on Twitter were going on and on about, like, oh, I saw my mom, and it's like, whoever you saw in that documentary, like, it wasn't that deep. They weren't doing
anything. Yeah, they were just living their best life like normal young people do. It really wasn't that deep. Yeah. It really wasn't that deep. But this documentary is called Freaknik, The Wildest Party Never Told. And first off the bat, I would just say that this documentary seemed less about, like Foren said, debauchery, and more like a love letter to Atlanta.
Yeah.
It was more about, like, if I was from Atlanta, I would be very, very happy watching this documentary. We get a lot of footage, and this was like the 90s, before social media, and it's so crazy to be like, oh, this was back in the 90s, because, like, yeah, that was like a while ago, but it doesn't feel like it was a while ago.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like it was as long ago as it was, I would say.
No,
there were like camcorders, large camcorders, like on your shoulder camcorders, that you knew you were being recorded. There wasn't no sly, well, we get into that later. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, you know you're being recorded, everyone's having a good time. It's like, imagine the documentaries to come in the future with all the like footage that we have now because of our camera phones. It's crazy. And also, I was like, imagine if like DLT or Recess had like a documentary about how they started and all that stuff in the future. It would be a similar kind of thing. Do you know what I mean?
That's a good point. I didn't think about it that way. Shocking was, I just thought that Freaknik was something that just fizzled out. I didn't realize, and I also didn't think it was
that
something...
it was stopped.
Yeah, and I also didn't think it was something so formal. Like, it was formal but informal, but I didn't think it was like a thing. I just
like
thought,
organized.
Yeah, I don't know what I thought, but it was
same. I don't know what I thought. I think that, like, unfortunately, Freaknik, like, you hear it in like social media, you hear it in like songs and stuff like that, cultural references. You think, oh, it was just some crazy, wild, like, sex thing. But actually, we learned so much more about it.
Yeah.
So Freaknik was a party / picnic based in Atlanta. There's food, there's music, there's blackness. Yeah. It was started by college kids for college kids, and this documentary basically explores how it went from being this amazing original thing to, like we said, being shut down. I liked the documentary. I think it was very well produced. It was easy to watch. It was like an hour and a half. I watched it on 1.25 and it was fine. I didn't feel like it was dragging at any point.
I agree with you. I mean, there were some bits I was like, I don't care for
I think there's definitely some, but again, that's why I say I feel like it was a love letter to Atlanta, because there's some things where it was kind of like, okay, all right, cool, but what happened with, you know, what happened, like, why are we here kind of thing.
I'm trying to see some ass.
So we meet Killer Mike, who is our first talking head, and he just tells us a bit about Atlanta. It's been amazing. People describe it as this, for like, as long as I've known, a mecca for black people in America.
I didn't even know that that's what it was.
Like, I hear that all the time. Maybe it's because of all the reality shows that I watch, but I hear Atlanta is the mecca for black people. That's where there's hope, there's possibilities. You can make it there. Like, you can really, really be big in Atlanta. And I know that people get onto Atlanta a lot because of all the, like, you know, the hookah,
the tight jeans,
and the behavior and all that stuff. But I love that there's endless possibilities. Atlanta does seem to be like somewhere black people in America can thrive.
Yeah.
Like, when we talk about the UK, yeah, and again, for the lady who just moved here or is moving here, this is not, you know, this is not your reality. But when we talk about it, yeah, it's about the lack of hope or possibilities. It's the feeling of a glass ceiling. In Atlanta, there's hope. Like, whether you are doing up Tyler Perry movies, if you are doing Married to Medicine, if you're on Chasing Atlanta, it doesn't matter what spectrum of things that you're on, there is a way for you to succeed and find the level of success that you're after. Like, you can be famous within your little sphere,
and
you can feel like, like, whatever it looks like for you, you can make it.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? You see people of your own, like,
doing well.
In that circle, doing
exactly.
Well. Yeah.
You can see people really making money and being rich and make you feel like, okay, it's possible. Here in the UK, It's like, bro, so you have a token somewhere, and then that one is now a conservative, so that one is not even really, skinfolk, but it's not kinfolk, like.
Yep. No, but it's true. I mean, like, Atlanta's good fun as well, like, and.
Have you been?
Yeah, I've been, and I have cousins that live there, so.
It was a good time.
It's a good time. Like, it's a fantastic place, and, like, it's amazing going somewhere and just seeing, like, your people everywhere.
Yeah, you look, thriving.
Thriving, doing stuff, having a good time and stuff like that. Like, it is really, really good. And obviously, like, all the franchises that come out of there as well, like, are the, for me, the best. Like, of all the Real Housewives, I think Atlanta is the
worst. Oh, absolutely. The best. Absolutely.
So, definitely. And I can understand why, because, like, even when they go on to talk about it, I didn't really know a lot of the HBCUs started in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
So again, that, and that's such a big thing. Like, I've been to uni in America before, and it's such a massive thing for people there. So
yeah, I can imagine. Imagine if they had like black unis in here, like here. Yeah. Like, imagine.
Yeah, I mean.
But, well.
This country.
We probably all fit in one. So yeah, as Florence mentioned, they talk about the HBCUs. Spelman Morehouse I'd heard of, because I know Simone and Cecil from Married to Medicine went there, and that's where they met. Mm. So the whole first part of the documentary really delves into the history of Atlanta, how great it is for black people, and it kind of lays the foundation for the genesis of Freaknik, right? Also, side note, we see Rashida, which makes sense because Rashida, Atlanta, they are synonymous, yeah?
Yeah, just every time I
Every time I see that woman, yeah, I said, put it on and make him want a man, we might.
Like, it's just like, and that's why I said I rather would not. I can't take you serious after you released that song.
I know, but I liked her. I did not like her, but she was like cool in this. Do you know what I mean? She's really talking about her, again, it's a love letter to Atlanta, talking about her city and how much she loved it and all that stuff. And these are people who were around at the time, like who were there. It's like them interviewing us for like a DLT or Recess documentary in the future. And us being like, oh, mate, like we were young, we were doing this, we were doing that, you know? Yeah, I can see why they felt so like passionately about it. So now we are in 2023 and we see the founders of Freaknik reunite. So I think one's called Emma, Monique, Amadi, and I think there's another one, but it's really wholesome. Like they're like older now. They tell us how it started in 1983. Every state had like a club. And from what I gather, it was kind of like how we have ACS in different unis. Yeah. So their one was in DC and they said they had the best parties.
We wanted to provide events that would help to support our students around things like the school breaks, where we could party and just celebrate being together.
Some people would go home, some people would stay, some people couldn't afford to go home, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So they planned a picnic for like during spring break. So they think of a theme and come up with Freak, which to us is like a freak, freaky, sexy kind of thing.
Yeah, nasty.
But they were like, it wasn't freaky. It was like, you know that song, oh, Freak Out.
Yeah.
It was like that kind of vibe. And so they come up with Freaknik.
It's just a shame that
it was bastardized. Like it got turned around.
But I just think anything they would have called it, it still would have been what it turned into.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. But really it was just a cookout. That's all it was.
Yeah.
So it becomes really huge through word of mouth. And I don't think that we can stress enough how the fact that it got huge through word of mouth is insane. Because first of all, America's massive, yeah? And second of all, this wasn't just like, oh, I post it on my story, share it, blah, blah, blah. This was like, oh, I know someone who knows someone who knows someone, let's go to this thing. And it got huge.
Yeah, that's crazy when you think about it like that. Because I watched it thinking about it from a social media perspective, but yeah, like the fact that it literally was just people talking, and like you just had to bank on the fact that despite the only way this got around was word of mouth, the next year all these people were still going to show up.
Would still come. And not even come like, oh yeah, there's parking here. Oh yeah, here's my Google Maps. It's literally a map, a paper map. I'm figuring out, yeah, it's going to be somewhere around here. These men wanted to enjoy. Like, I know that we like enjoyment and stuff, but I'm sorry, them lots, they really chose to enjoy it because we also like convenience. We choose convenience. These lots, map.
When I saw some of the stuff they did for enjoyment, I was like, yeah, I wasn't built for
that. I said, could never be me. Could never be me. So when Freaknik gets referenced on TV shows in like a positive way, you know, in like sitcoms and stuff. And in the 80s, it's still very wholesome. It's a black picnic by black people. It's a place where people kind of like stunt with their cars, show their rims, or like, you know, all that kind of stuff. And they spend a lot of time in the documentary emphasizing that, listen, this was a good time. People had fun. There was even this like rim shop where people used to meet up. And we have people like Usher, T.I., Tupac, like people before they were like famous. Mm. And we see pics of them like in this sort of environment. And like I say, there is so much footage, and it's really nice to see everyone having a good time and also seeing the evolution of like fashion, hair, like all the stuff, you know?
Yeah.
We also learn about how Freaknik opened doors for black record labels and like hip hop actually getting played on the radio.
Yeah, because I don't think people really cared for...
Yeah, they weren't really receptive to it, yeah. Also, side note, yeah, there's this certain type of... 90s black American fine, yeah, that does not exist anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't. They've stopped creating the
they stopped, the factory has shut down.
Shut down, yeah. They stopped the what was I gonna say? The ingredients no longer exist.
And no one stole the formula because some of the guys in this footage, I was just like, huh.
Like, we don't have a Morris Chestnut of our
we don't generation. Of our time. We don't. It's so funny that you say that because this morning, right? I said it's so funny you say that because this morning, yeah, the love of my life was like, oh, who was your like 90s crush? And literally without thinking, Morris Chestnut. Yeah. And it's like, who is that today?
No one. Even Flex, like, who's that? No one.
Oh, Fledette. Oh my God. It's different. Like, yeah. It's different. Maybe it's the water. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
I don't know. So all these recessions are aging us horribly.
Oh, global warming. I don't know what it is. But yeah, there's so many beautiful people in this documentary. I was just like, and you.
And I just even really like how freeing it felt like the 90s was. Like,
yes.
Everybody just, like, I mean, there's nothing wrong. Look, I beat my face to the gods, but. Like, a lot of the women looked like they were pretty natural to an extent.
Yeah, it was that 90s look, yeah.
Yeah, just natural, like, just shorts. Like,
and their hair, whatever, yeah.
Nobody was doing too much, like...
Mm-hmm. Everyone was comfortable.
Everyone was just comfortable, like, wearing their trainers. Like, it just... It seemed like a vibe.
And no one was trying to, like... everyone was dancing. Everyone was like, it wasn't like stood up by the wall. Everyone was just like shaking ass. Like, it just seemed like a proper good time. Like, we're coming here, good vibes, having a good time.
Yeah.
Agreed. It looked like a great time. We're still like 80s, early 90s at this point. So we meet and hear about this guy called Luke from 2 Live Crew.
Do you not know who 2 Live Crew are?
Yeah, I mean, I know of 2 Live Crew, but it's not like I listen to 2 Live Crew.
Is this
but when they said it was like, oh, Uncle Luke, I was like, okay, 2 Live Crew.
It's just the way you said it. It was like, you said it like you'd never heard of them. But I was oh my God.
Yeah, I've heard of them, but I don't, it's not like I listen to their music. So everyone, including him, says that he brings the freak to Freaknik. Okay, so this is like 1993 now. And this, as we've stated, was not the original intention. Okay, and I'm not saying that this guy is the reason, but I'm just saying that he says that he is the reason.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's really nice seeing this footage because they're wearing like booty shorts, like short shorts, shaking their ass, having a good time. And so this is why when the older generations, and this happens every generation, talks about like, oh, our generation is so sexual, whatever, whatever. It's like, no, people have been shaking ass since the dawn of man. Like, this has been happening. It's just now we have more ways to document it. Mm. So yeah, we hear a bit about how this was, do you know what? Florence kind of touched on this, basically the liberation side of things, like people were just having a good time. And one talking head says, you know, women could have their moment, shake their ass, take a picture, and no one's trying to touch them. Like, they would just keep it moving. Like, maybe if someone would compliment you, you would, you know, keep it moving, fine. And then one talking head says,
what we're looking at is, you know, black women kind of flexing their sexuality.
Around this time, TLC are really popular and they're preaching, look, it's okay to have sex because you want to. Like, you are not just there for a man to have sex with. Like, you can take charge of your sexuality. So all of this is all around the same time and, like, it all just kind of makes sense. Also, the whole time I was watching this, I was thinking, like, imagine, like, you know, sometimes in life, like, there's something going on, or there's like an event or something, and you're kind of like, oh no, I don't want to go, or like, oh no, like, yeah. I want to behave, or oh no. Imagine like missing out on like these sorts of memories.
Yeah.
When you could, I mean, obviously you don't have to go to everything or do everything, but I can just imagine the people looking back at this, knowing that they went, the memories that you have, the nostalgia, the feeling of like, wow, I lived my life, you know?
Yeah, knowing where you were when something happened.
Yeah, exactly. So this is your sign, get out the house. So Outkast is here. I just love Outkast, that's why I mentioned them. But they mentioned how Freaknik was a way to kind of give people from all over the country their music. So again, think about this through the lens of the 90s, yeah? There's no Spotify, there's no SoundCloud, none of that sort of stuff, yeah? So they would have like little tapes, like cassette tapes. And so they, when people were coming to Freaknik, would distribute their music. And so now it's not just someone from Atlanta, it's someone from wherever else, wherever else, coming to Atlanta and then going back to where they came from. Now with your music, spreading the word, and that's how you get big. That's basically how they got big. So now they say because of Freaknik, Atlanta's really getting put on the map. And then on top of that, they get chosen to host the Summer Olympics. This is in 1996, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, this is great for Atlanta because when you're chosen to host an Olympics, it's like, rah, bare people are going to come to your city, increase in tourism, people know your name, that kind of stuff, yeah?
Yeah.
But this is not great for Freaknik because it goes from being, you know, good vibes to people just starting to do too much.
Yeah.
And then people start to say, oh, you know, it's giving black people a bad reputation. And again, I kind of hate this thing because it's like, why are we dancing for massa? Like, I get it. Like, I understand that, like, the actions of someone can affect people's perception of a wider group. But people make the point that no one says this about white people in spring break.
Yeah.
When girls are gone wild, yeah, and all that stuff happens, okay, we isolated to, oh, these people are moving crazy. We don't then say, oh, all these white people are mad and now we need to whatever.
And I don't know why black people have to live their lives thinking that we need to
seeking approval from white people,
or we need to make a good impression. Like,
fam, free yourself of that.
For me, the stuff that was happening towards the end, I thought it was horrid, but
yes, 100%.
I'm just not down for that kind of stuff. But the people that are down for it, that doesn't mean they represent all black people. They represent themselves. Like,
they represent themselves and they should be allowed to do that.
Yep.
They're a bad person who happens to be black. Like, yeah,
but I just think it was bound to happen, though. And this isn't a race thing. It would have happened if this was a white group of people. The event was uncontrolled. Like, yep.
And there wasn't, like, permits and all that. Because even when they first started it, like, nowadays, looking at it through this lens of, like, life today, it's kind of like, oh, like, how did you get a permit? Were you allowed to people? Was there safety? Was there, like, crowd control? Was there... Because the traffic used to be insane. Like, it's like, how was this allowed to run in the way that it was run?
Yeah, agreed.
That's what I tend to think. But yeah, so now we have the campaign to quash Freaknik, and really the motivation is that it's seen as a hindrance for the upcoming Olympics. It's become uncontrollable, and what Freaknik did for Atlanta, as what they spent half the documentary talking about, was nothing compared to what the Olympics would do, because Freaknik was great for black people in Atlanta, which they don't give a fuck about. The Olympics is great for everyone in Atlanta, so they say.
And the revenue is more from the Olympics.
Exactly. It's an economic decision at the end of the day.
And at the end of the day, I kind of do agree with the fact that if you're having the Olympics, you have to clean out this nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that they should have cancelled the event. I think it should have become more of a controlled event, almost like a... what's that, Coachella? Like, if you did it like Coachella, if they were able to...
Yeah, it should have been controlled. Or even if they took a break that Olympic year, got their shit together, came back with whatever was required, and then redid it. I kind of agree,
like, people, businesses that are coming and investing and stuff like that, like, the stuff that was happening at this point, I get it not being a conducive environment for the Olympics. Obviously, the way it was in the beginning, absolutely, like, that was fine, or even early 90s, but by this point things were, like, crazy.
It's spun out of control.
Yeah, so I think they should have cancelled it that year, taken time, thought about it, figured it out. The way they handled it was shit. Or just controlled it better, like,
because they they tried to, like, rebrand it. They called it, like, Black Spring Break or something, and tried to, like, put it in a new location that doesn't impact their preparations for the Olympics. But communication seemed like it was really poor. Like, it just wasn't done in the best way.
And also, the thing with, like, stuff like Daytona Beach and Miami and all of that kind of stuff is, like, there's a beach, there are events, there are things that are very...
It's structured.
I don't know. I mean, I saw, like, Biggie and stuff performing, but they kept referencing it as like a street party,
like that a free for all, yeah,
for like the whole city. I'm trying to put things into perspective of me trying to get to work and people are literally just dancing on the street for days on end.
And also you have to imagine, because we see it in the footage, like the traffic is insane.
Yeah.
All these people are coming to this one place. The traffic is crazy. You're not moving. Not only are you not moving, but people are just on their cars, dancing, shaking ass, drinking, like
some
doing peep shows.
Would
like
just park their car and walk. But
and
like,
go.
Park to where? Like just anywhere. To where? Literally.
Just outside my house.
Now I can't come out of my like garage. Like it needed
to be controlled. I think that the way that it started and all that stuff was great, wholesome, amazing, love it, but I just feel like it just spiraled. And it's like when you have events like this where there's like no real like leadership or rules or like I don't know, policy, it's kind of like anyone can do anything with it, and then we end up here.
Yeah.
So we keep referencing, you know, what it's become. And what it's become is dangerous. People, especially women, primarily women, no longer feel safe. There's loads of sexual advances. It's getting kind of like, I don't want to say raunchy because that implies like, oh yeah, we're both on it. But just like uncomfortable, dangerous. Yeah. So it's
and the thing I found fucking weird as well is they said that there were a lot of non-college people attending, like men in their 40s and stuff. Like, what the fuck are you, like, what the fuck are you doing there?
This is not for you.
Like, it's just me trying to put into perspective, like, my husband getting up and telling me he's going to spring
break. University.
Yeah, or, yeah.
Or freshers week.
Literally freshers. Like, that is, put that into perspective. My
And it's like, you, we said this last week, you're depraved because you know what you are coming here to do.
Yeah.
You have no business here. You have no business here.
No.
And this is what you're coming for. There was even one bit where they were saying how, like, someone had, like, a van and, like, girls or women would be in there, like, just shaking ass and stuff. And they would, like, cover it. So it was, like, a peep show. So they would charge people to watch a girl, like, shake her ass and stuff. And I was just thinking,
what are you talking? There's one where she was saying that, like, she's driving past, women were just laying there with their legs open.
Yeah, no underwear.
Like, what are you doing?
Insane. So again, it's not all like hunky dory and oh, they're against the blacks. It's like, okay, come on guys, like let's be for real here. Do you know what I mean? Like this is not what it started off as. So it's spring 1998, and again, this is where, you know, the documentary gets a bit dark. So it's not all like, oh, Atlanta, we love you. It's like, eesh. So we hear the story of two female friends. One's called Stacey, and Stacey is here telling us the story. So they're driving, they stop to get petrol. They realize one of their purses, I think, has been stolen. And then they also, so the story's a bit chaotic, but they also then have a guy try and steal their car. One of them is in the car and the guy tries to get into the driver's seat to like steal it. So they start fighting because what the fuck, yeah. And then more guys come and now start attacking her. I don't know what happens to the other friend at this time because Stacey's speaking from her point of view, but they start attacking her and we see her telling us about the situation like now in the documentary, and then we also see footage of her recounting it back in 1998 when it happened.
The only thing that saved me from getting raped was a man yelled at police.
And then the crowd kind of just scatters. When it doesn't scatter, it kind of loosens up, if you will. When I got up, both breasts were out of the shirt. The shirt was ripped. Only the elastic was holding my skirt together. My hair was all over the place, as you can imagine. I was cut and bruised and the whole nine. I'm like, what the hell just happened?
And this is just...
But
really,
they
were
just attacking her. They were ripping her clothes off.
Yeah, they were ripping her clothes off, yeah. So it's like, they... It's just sad that, like, inevitably, this is how things go. So of all the men that were there, and we know that there were a lot of men that were there, one of them yells police. We don't know whether a policeman was actually there and this guy was also trash warning them.
Yeah.
Or saying police because then people would leave and then the girls could escape. We don't know. But regardless, only one person said anything, and we didn't even know if that anything was for her benefit or not.
And it's like, what was your intention? So you were ripping her clothes off in the like main road to rape
yep.
her there and then, like
there and gang mentality, all
you,
of you there.
Do you know how depraved you have
are you
to be
mad
to do something like that?
And then imagine the fear that you feel, like you're helpless. All these people are here and nobody.
Yeah. Nobody thinks this is wrong. Nobody says anything.
It's just like, I don't know, man. I just like, Stacey says that, you know, after a while, she just didn't feel safe in big groups and especially in groups of black people. And it's like, this is, it's really sad because, okay, she didn't get raped, but she was assaulted, she was attacked, and yeah. It's just, you just wanted to go and have a good time.
I mean, like,
what did
you
do wrong in this situation? You defended yourself.
I get it, but the not feeling safe in groups of black people, again, it's that whole thing of like, one person has to represent all, because...
Well, no, I disagree with this one, you know, because like, if I am attacked by a man, or even if other people are attacked by a man, I don't feel safe around men. I don't feel safe around them.
Yeah, I get it. You don't. So then if she had said she didn't feel safe in a group of men, I would get it. But that black and it's not to victim blame in any same sense or form, but saying, oh, I don't feel safe around black men, it's almost like you're attributing that thing to black men when it's not a black man thing.
Which is fair enough, but she didn't say black men. She said in black groups, which is what she went to. She went to an event for black people in a black group, and that's where she was attacked. So I feel like it follows to be like, okay, cool. This is where I was. This is what happened. I feel weird in these groups of people, because I doubt that she could recognize the people who did this to her. And it's like, oh my God, you could be here. You could be here. You could be here.
Yeah, but you're a black person, so you'll be in black groups inevitably. Are you afraid when
Of course she's going to be in black groups, but she's saying that for a while she was uncomfortable in those spaces, which I think is understandable.
I mean, fair enough.
So the most annoying thing, or one of the annoying things about this situation, is that the police don't really care about these situations or people like Stacey, but they're putting a lot of resources into ensuring that like all the well-to-do white people of Atlanta are not disturbed by the freaknik situation. So like even diverting traffic, all that kind of stuff, like that's where all the resources are going to, not so much to people who are affected by this event that obviously they don't really care about. So they're not really trying to give a fuck, basically. So we get into this bit about how loads of like rapes were reported at Freaknik, a lot of sexual harassment. This part of the documentary reminded me of the Woodstock documentary. Yeah. Same thing. It started off really great and like hippie vibes, yeah, amazing peace and love, and then it just became mad. Like,
that's what I was thinking of when I was watching this as well.
Yeah.
And that's why I said it's not even this thing where they're like, oh, like a black poor representation of black, it's not a black thing, it's not isolated to
black people, yeah, it's just men
and it's just an uncontrolled crowd where you have men. As long as there are men and yep. there are no sanctions, of course this is what it's going to turn into.
Yeah, as long as there are men and there are no other men to stop the men, then it's going to just descend into this.
Yeah, that's reminded me of.
Yeah, literally same thing. Because we see a lot of footage of women being groped and like degraded, and we see like people are upskirting, you know, taking videos underneath people's skirts. It's actually really horrific. It's like, yeah. How did we get here? Like, how did it turn into this?
Yeah.
So as we said at the beginning, Freaknik gets cancelled. So, I mean, and rightfully so. At this point, I was like, it's not safe for women. Mm. Like, it seems like it kind of went outside, which is like, eesh, it started off so well, you know, yeah. And then it turned into this thing. But I can't lie, it had to end when it ended, because...
Yeah, that was perfect time ahead.
Yeah, it was like, let nobody else be harmed by this. So this bit at the end was kind of like, I mean, I want to say it was random, but I get why they put it there. So Freaknik has apparently been revived by this guy called Carlos. So he sees that the trademark is available in 2018, and so he buys it. The aim, I guess, is to like revamp it and, you know, start, you know, doing a Freaknik festival. We get this like round robin of talking heads, and like no one seems really keen.
Yeah, but of course they're not going to be keen on because the they feel like, oh, it's something they owned, it's something exclusive to the 90s. But I think by in doing that, first of all, even if this event had continued into present day without being stopped, what it looks like would have changed. That's number one.
It would have had to change.
Number two, like it's actually okay to take something that was really, really good, especially something that brings black people together in a positive light and allows you escapism. It's okay to take something like that and make it into something like that is relevant to modern day. Like I think sometimes older people have this thing of like, oh well, but like it was just,
you can't
like,
do like a
yeah, like, and it doesn't have to be like you guys could actually support this because the spirit of it is to give Black people their own spring break, give them a space where they can feel comfortable, give them a space where they don't have to like think about, oh, we're Black folk, we're just people like having fun.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that, but I do also think that like there's nothing wrong with you just starting your own thing that does that now in this day and age. Like there's no need to go back to be like, oh hey, I'm gonna bring this new thing, bring this old thing back to the new. I don't agree with like, because they were very like kind of condescending about it, kind of like, oh, like why is he da da da, and I can understand he's probably thinking, yeah, well, let's like, this kind of went out a bit sad, let's kind of restore the Freaknik name. It seemed kind of clouty to me because it's like you could just start a new thing and be like, hey, this is what we're doing now, yeah, cool, inspired by Freaknik or whatever, and then do your own thing, you know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I get it.
Either way, I think that you wanted to do something positive for the Black community. There's nothing wrong, like how can you hate on that?
Yeah, literally. And that's my thing. And I guess it's easier to, sometimes it's easier to like take stuff that already exists because there's already a flavor,
an association
for it. Yeah, like it's kind of like, yeah, when they redid Fresh Prince, I was thinking, what the fuck is this? But I've actually heard from a lot of people that it's really, really good. So yeah, obviously because
there's, yeah, same, I've heard that too,
an association, people are gonna watch it.
And from the beginning of time, people always sample music, people always redo, yeah, films, people always, like, you take inspiration for things that have come before. So you can make new things, that's great, but like it doesn't mean, like, sometimes you are actually just paying homage to, or yeah, homage to previous things. Maybe the way he went about it, they didn't like or whatever, but
yeah, I don't know.
It's not my business. Not my monkey, not my circus.
Never heard that one before.
But yeah, now it's time for, oh no, before it's time for, I just wanted to say that, you know, I actually think it's good that Freaknik is done in that respect. Yeah. I think it served its purpose. I think it did what it was supposed to do until it didn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And then it ended.
Yeah.
But it was really nice seeing the footage of people having a good time, like the pixie cuts, like the hair, the fashions. Like, it was really enjoyable to see all that.
Yeah, and it was educational because I did, yeah, not know that there was a normal side Freaknik. I actually only knew about the Babylonian side. Things
the Sodom and Gomorrah,
yeah, sorry, Sodom and Gomorrah side of things. No, Babylon, Whore of Babylon.
No, I'm just saying Sodom and Gomorrah. No, I'm not correcting you.
But yeah, no, I didn't know about that side of things, so it was, yeah, refreshing, same, to know that
it was
started,
nice. Yeah,
yeah,
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed
and all
it.
The Atlanta bits as well is nice. It's really always, it's so nice when you see people like have pride from where they come from.
Yes, that's it. They have pride.
Zero, I have zero pride to be from this country. Or actually sometimes even Nigeria. So it's actually nice,
girl,
when you see people who have pride in where they come from and they're positive things. So I really enjoyed that.
Yeah,
bit
and
well,
it's seeing the same people with like around Atlanta content, like it's just like that place just seems like, I want to say a small circle, but I understand it's not a small circle, but the same people who know people who are all affiliated or associated work together. Yeah, that's what I mean. It's very like, it seems very like, and I guess it also, that's why it attracts a lot of like clout chasers, because people want to get into that circle. Mm. People would do anything to kind of like belong and try and get, you know, here and here.
Even on Real Housewives of Atlanta, like, you hear them say that they grew up with this person or they know someone that knows this person.
Yeah, like Phaedra and Nene,
yeah,
been known each other.
Yeah, been known.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, literally.
You went high school together or whatever it was. Like, you guys have known each other. Like, it's yeah, it's like everyone's grown up together. It's nice. And that's why I think, like you said, Atlanta Housewives is like an amazing franchise. Married to Medicine, amazing franchise. Like, it's authentic. Mm. I feel like people in Atlanta are not trying to pretend.
Yeah.
They are who they are. Yeah. Like, regardless of what you think about it.
Yeah.
Like Rashida has been the same since Love and Hip Hop or whatever she was on. Mm-hmm. She's been the same.
She's been the same. Yeah.
So, yeah, but now it's time for
the real crime, I think, was the beard.
Our segment where we focus on something during the documentary that may not be criminal, but we definitely consider it to be a crime. Have you got one?
You go first.
So my one, and if you want to watch it for reference, it was at 28 minutes in the documentary. There is a penis hanging out of a window.
How did I miss that?
If you blinked, you would have missed it. There was a woman who basically was talking about how horrible this has been. I think it's around the time she was saying, oh, that the girl's legs were open in front of her, yeah. And she was like, you see human body parts out of windows, and then they showed this penis with a condom on it hanging out the
window. They should have wound that window all the way up. called it a day.
But bruh. So that one, I said, because I was watching it and I was like, oh, I ain't really got a crime, it's whatever. And then when I saw that, I had to go back because I was like, did I see that correctly? Or
mine was when they were talking about Daisy Dukes, the shorts, and then they cut to like the girls in Atlanta wearing the shorts, and it was the difference between Daisy Duke in her Daisy Dukes. Us. Yeah. Okay.
Daisy Dukes and booty shorts.
Yeah, I don't know why they
same
had
thing,
to do
different
that.
Us.
Literally same thing, different us.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, I like that one. I like that.
I enjoyed it. It was an enjoyable watch.
It was, I think, for because sometimes we watch these documentaries and it's like, yeah, it was all right. Like, we watched it because we do this, yeah. But this was one that I was like, oh, I actually would have watched this anyway.
Yeah, I definitely would have. And I enjoyed been wanting to watch it.
Yeah, exactly. And it was just kind of like, okay, great. Now we should do it. We should actually watch it because we're doing it. So,
yeah.
So next we are doing the credits. Mm-hmm. And are we doing Cowboy Carter?
Yeah.
Deep dive. We're gonna do a Cowboy Carter deep dive. When did we become a Beyonce stan podcast? I don't know, but here we are. So we're gonna do a deep dive about all the songs and our thoughts and stuff. So that'll be next week. If you haven't listened, don't know what you're playing at, just do that. Listen
in your car. It has to be your car. Actually, no, the other when I listened to it through and through, it was last week Friday working from home. I just played it.
Yeah,
from the beginning.
It's great. Listen to it. However, just play it on a device. Yeah. Press play, babe.
I even listen to Spaghetti.
Get your life. Oh my god! So there's this. Oh, well done. So there's this playlist. Act two. So it has Cowboy Carter, then it goes into Renaissance. We'll discuss more later. But you can find that playlist if
okay,
you.
Okay, I should because I haven't listened to.
I'll send it to you.
I haven't listened to the follow through. So.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. But yeah, if you just type in Cowboy Carter Renaissance, it will come up. It's called Act 1 plus Act 2 Renaissance Cowboy Carter.
Fantastic scenes.
It's great. It's amazing. But anyway, we'll discuss more next week. So there's no trailer because, of course, it's A credits. But we're really enjoying your responses to our episodes, new and old. Appreciate it. So again, if you have anything to say or you have any thoughts, feelings, concerns, just respond.
Indeed.
If you are on Apple Podcast, if you could write us a review, that would be much appreciated. Let us know if we make your day, if we ruin your day, let us know regardless. If you are on Spotify, please rate us 5 stars only, please and thanks.
Thank you.
And if you want to find us on social media, you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Two Girls One Doc, TikTok, Two Girls One Doc Podcast. And if you want to email us suggestions or whatever, then twogirlsonedoc@gmail.com.
Exactly.
And yeah, we will see you. No, we won't. We will be back next week. Listen to Cowboy Carter. Come with your thoughts and feelings because we are going to come with ours.
Yeah, do your homework.
Yeah, do your homework.
All right.
Do that. Oh, I shouldn't sing that, should I? Whoops.
All right, then. Bye.